Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Why do some denominations forbid women from preaching, Pastor?
Okay, my understanding is that the exclusion of women from preaching stems largely from patriarchy and probably misreading of cultural bound church. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 1 Corinthians 14:34-35.
Okay. Go ahead. We're listening, Pastor.
Okay. So 1 Timothy 2:11 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over men. So from my understanding, it is probably a misreading of such texts that have made some denominations to reach such conclusions.
Okay.
So I think in order for us to understand this text, we should have a historical, cultural, and linguistic point. That is to say, for example, 1 Timothy actually is a letter that is addressed to Timothy. So basically, the Bible, each text that you meet in the Bible, is either descriptive or prescriptive in nature. Yes, that is to say, if we say prescriptive, we are saying it is specifically for certain individuals, certain places, or certain events, or they are being driven by certain events or certain cultural issues. And when we say they are descriptive, they are generally for everyone, at any time or at any place. So this text seems to be prescriptive in nature. That is to say, they were influenced by certain things or events that were taking place by them. For example, the one that is usually referred to, which was highlighted on our introduction, is 1 Timothy. This one is historically is largely influenced by the fact that women played dominant role in the church. New convert women or new female converts who came from the background of Diana of Ephesus brought pagan ideas and myths in the church. That's why Paul warns against false teachings in 1 Timothy 1:3-7 and deceptive doctrines in 1 Timothy 4:1-3. So when Paul said, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, he was likely addressing a specific local problem, not necessarily putting a ban on women, the same as 1 Corinthians 14:34-35. Talking to forbid a kind of abusive or overbearing authority. Not all forms of leadership. And 1 Corinthians, which is the second verse, which is usually referred to by so many denominations in regard to the issue of forbidding women to preach, that is, women should remain silent in the churches. Historically, Corinth, where this church was found, Corinth was a cosmopolitan, chaotic city, and worship gatherings usually were often disorderly, were done in a disorderly manner. And in the same, women were generally uneducated, and this public speaking was not for women in most cases. That is the historical background of the text. So therefore, the silence command must be about a specific type of speech, not an absolute silence. Because in the same letter, that is 1 Corinthians 11:5, Paul already allowed women to pray and prophesy. So the text is about maintaining order, not oppressing women's voice. So I would like to make some recommendations on those texts so that when we come across such situations, we'll be able to read from the scripture and probably give an adequate answer to say the text was prescriptive, not descriptive. Okay.
All right, before you continue, just before you continue, Pastor, I'm listening to your explanations, and all your explanations about these verses are extra-biblical. Is that not true?
Not 100% so. They are partly extra-biblical and partly biblical. That is to say there's a historical context to the scripture, because when you are interpreting the scriptures, you should also be informed by the historical context of
I understand. What I'm suggesting is all 100% of your historical references are not biblical history. You will not find any of those explanations in the Bible. So 100% of your explanation of these texts is extra-biblical. There is no biblical basis to support any of it, is there?
Okay. Let me give you some tips that suggest to say these ones were begged by the Bible.
Okay.
I quote 1 Timothy chapter 1:7.
Pastor, may I ask that you come closer to your device again? We need to be able to hear you clearly. Just come closer to your device. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, thank you. I was referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to say in the same letter to the Corinthians,
right?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul actually is permitting women to prophesy and also to preach. And that is another biblical support. And another biblical support.
Sorry, Pastor. I need you to just clarify this issue. When you quote 1 Timothy chapter 2:11, for example, it speaks of three things. 11 and 12 says, a woman must learn in quietness and full submission. Yes. Submissiveness. 12 says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. So here, he's very clear to say, you can teach all you want to teach. You can exercise authority, but not over a man. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy here, isn't it, Pastor?
Yes, that is clear, as you are saying, from the text.
Say that again, Pastor?
Yes, am I clear?
Your line is breaking and cracking, Pastor. Let's continue, though, because I'm afraid if we drop now, we might not get a clear connection for forward. So can we confirm, Pastor, that we are talking about a Paul who is very clear that the authority that he is forbidding is authority over men. It's not authority altogether. So women cannot have authority over women. Women can have authority over children. But women, as far as Paul is concerned, must not have authority over men. Is this not what Paul is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12?
Okay.
That's a question, Pastor. It was a question I was asking.
To explain to key words, you know, that a point. Yes, I'm answering that question using key words that are found in that scripture. That is teach and authority.
Okay.
Authority, as it is the translated in that word from the original writings, actually is referring to dominion, which is to usurp authority. not simply to lead, but to usurp authority. That is to take off.
Absolutely.
In this regard, it is referring to authoritative doctrine or teaching in the early church, and not generally sharing of truth
right.
or prophets
right.
or teachers or teaching. Because remember, our question is about preaching in the church.
Are you still there, Pastor?
I hope.
So here the question, Pastor, is why do some denominations forbid women from preaching? So we are not quite certain from the questioner or the inquirer whether that's preaching in the church or preaching elsewhere. I'll say this again with the greatest respect. Those very same denominations that forbid women from speaking in the church, in the building, they have no problem with a woman preaching elsewhere. They encourage women to preach elsewhere. They just don't have they have a problem with them preaching on the pulpit. So I need us to have a biblical understanding of where exactly is the forbidding. Is the forbidding on preaching, period, or preaching in some places? Because our inquirer does not make it plain where he or she is inquiring about.
Okay. I think to refer to some text so that we have a clear understanding of the reason. To say, the first thing that we should look at is that Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
Yes.
Scripture affirms the equality in terms of dignity and the worthy of both men and women as image bearers. So, in terms of image, there's no distinction in the Bible.
Right.
To say this is for men and this should be for women.
Right, right.
Okay. Then the other aspect is the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is prophet and teaching included, are given without gender distinction. To say 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as you said, support. Then the next chapter 2, 17 and 18, we are just given whoever. To say, your daughters shall. Okay? And the restrictive text were pastoral, post-restrictive text were pastoral corrections for local issues, not universal laws. We have highlighted. Then the area church recognized and empowered women in key three roles. We see prophets and we see some Bible instructors like Aquila, I mean, like who was the wife of Aquila, and who was instrumental, especially for the formation of the church at Ephesus. And we have another scripture by Paul, which says, there is neither a male nor a female. You are all one in Christ. And that text.
Forgive me, Pastor. I understand, and we could go and investigate all these other texts, but for today, may I humbly request that you just help us with the idea of preaching, forbidding preaching. If we have quoted two texts where Paul forbids preaching of women, and the pastor is citing that this may be a misreading, give us a correct reading of these Pauline texts, kindly.
Okay. I think that is very clear from what I've said, that the text, each and every biblical text, should be read in context.
Right.
So the contextual, meaning of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, is actually found in the fact that there was a situation at Ephesus where Timothy was heading the church. And that situation is the one that actually influenced the writing of the text. The same with that to the Corinthians. There are so many of posts or texts that are given to or respond
right.
to what has happened. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, which talks about the issues of fornication and so on. There was something that was happening. And Paul sometimes starts by saying, concerning the letter that is written to me.
Right.
I'm saying so and so and so and so.
Right.
So, in his letter, certain things were scripted to say they were in response to what was happening, what was taking place. And that's where we find these two texts being, into the scripture.
So let's try the application. Let's try the application, Pastor. If you're saying it was in a particular context, and you're going to drag extra biblical contexts into this scripture, I have no problem with that for the purpose of this exercise. Then is it not true to say, should a similar context arise in the year 2025, therefore, the admonition and counsel from Paul is to forbid women from preaching. Should there be contexts akin to those that were prevalent in Ephesus at the time, then the correct course of action is to forbid all women from preaching. Is that what the pastor is saying about this context argument?
Not necessarily. I think every situation in terms of any denomination is guided by that denomination's policy or
right.
set of rules that are followed.
Shouldn't it be guided by the Bible?
Come again?
Shouldn't it be guided by the Bible?
Yes, of course, the policies. I think, of course, the policies are informed by biblical texts and scriptures.
Some are not. That's what I'm asking about, Pastor. Some policies are not guided by Scripture, quite frankly. Some policies are directly opposed to the Scriptures.
Yeah. You are right to say that, because we have so many denominations, and we are not sure about their source of policies.
Yeah, right.
You are right to say so. So, I'm simply saying each denomination... when it comes to the issue of facing arising issues in the church, there was a way of dealing with such, not necessarily taking the official context of the Christian context. Some may choose to do so, some may not, but that should not
Pastor, you're far away from your device again. You're far away, and we're missing out on a wealth of information you're sharing. Kindly come closer to your device, please. Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Okay, go ahead. Let's try. Go ahead, Pastor.
I was simply saying you are correct to suggest that some policies are not informed by the Bible, and that is correct. But you will discover that in most denominations, they are guided by a set of rules to address a rising issue, whether they are from the Bible or from any other source. We agree on that, yeah?
Correct. Yes, Pastor.
Yes. So, I think if such issues arise, it is very important to treat them the way we treat other issues in our different denomination. Not applying issues to do with gender equality or inequality, mistreating women by specifically for what was happening at Corinth.
Okay. All right. Let's conclude our conversation for this, because our line is deteriorating. So you said you had prepared some solutions for us. Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead with those solutions and then we conclude. Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, thank you very much. So actually, we ought to understand. I think I've gone through some of them, but let me just emphasize on two main ones to say the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Preaching, there's no gender distinction as they are given in the 52 Corinthians chapter 12 and 17 to 18. There's no gender distinction. And the last important aspect is that the ability of
now we are totally unable to hear what you're saying, Pastor Witt. I don't know what just happened. We're totally unable to hear.
Okay. Can I try again?
That's it. That's it. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay. I was simply saying a lot of things we have already highlighted, but I just want to emphasize on two key aspects. To say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, 17 to 18, the Holy Spirit gives the gift regardless of whether he's a male or a female, a woman or a man. So the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, the yes. gift of leadership, and whatever gift that comes through the Holy Spirit knows no gender distinction.
Right.
And lastly, but not least, the Pauline letters, which we cited, that is the First Corinthians and the First Timothy, actually suggest the restrictive, this text actually suggests that Paul was just giving a pastoral correction for specific local issues,
right.
not necessarily universal or everlasting law.
Okay. All right. No, I hear you, Pastor. I hear you. Phenomenal stuff. It's a conversation I would love to delve deeper into, but I don't want to keep you longer than we have contracted you. Thank you ever so much for agreeing to talk to us. I'm looking forward to the rest of the week. Have a wonderful day, Pastor, and looking forward to talking to you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Blessings to our listeners.
Thank you, Pastor. That's how we end our Ask a Pastor segment. We're going to take a piece of music and come back and get into our next segment, which is our Grow Model for the week.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.